Kia ora koutou, taka ho. Welcome back to The Wilderness Within. Now, this episode was actually unplanned and unscripted. It was recorded during my time when I got to go back to North America to see family and friends and sell and downsize a bunch of my belongings to be further committed to be on this land in Aotearoa, New Zealand, where I'm currently. And I'm recording this live from my new studio here, and I'm really excited to bring this to life because it's my first full solo episode. And I dive into it, talking about what life really has brought me in terms of lessons, experiences, worthy moments of celebrations that have really shaped me in the last several months. I get into early nature connections in Hong Kong and LA, thanks to my mom and some of that family influence in shaping me up at a young age, long before the seed ever blossomed. And I share about how one of the most profound and healing experiences while I was in California was having an interview with my parents, both my mom and dad. I agreed to sit down to do a really long, heartfelt, honest, candid interview where I dive deep into a bunch of questions I never thought I would ask them. I also share in it some of the philosophy I have around content creation and the recent realization I've had, where effectively we are the best storyteller and heroes of the journey. And if we really embody that, magic could happen, and it's really empowering. And this is all as I walk through the Angeles National Forest, just outside of LA, really close to where I grew up, in the suburbs of eastern Los Angeles, and just have a deep appreciation of the land and water there, and the fact that those are some of the places where it really shaped my my childhood and my teenage years. I also get into the notion that every time we visit a place, we're slightly different. We're renewed by everything that we've learned and let go. And so I'm reminiscing on the fact that the person that was the little kid that immigrated with my parents to California is no longer the same person, that all the cells in the body have changed multiple times, and that I get to see the land and the place and have that human experience in a radically new way. And I feel that about, especially this visit to the west coast of the US, and in that particular moment in that canyon next to that river, how deep and profound that revelation really is. Yes, I also wish to share that I've really enjoyed the engagement in the last episode, the one with Tamara Wilder, on preserving these ancient technologies that are actually really vital and that have played a huge role in our ancestors' evolution and the shaping of modern society. Keep them coming, guys. I just love hearing from all the listeners and all the beautiful feedback from across the world. We've got people tuning in from India and Canada and the US, of course, New Zealand now. It's just so encouraging to know that there's an audience that I may not even engage with directly, but you guys are all over the world. So for those of you who are subscribers on Patreon, you have access to this video version of the podcast, which has the visuals and basically most of the walk of me through the forest. And I apologize in advance because the video footage isn't stabilized from the phone because I accidentally turned it off. And also there's some of the walking and kind of hitting the jacket noises on that. I hope that in seeing the scenery with me along with the sound and my narration, it adds an extra depth and appreciation for what I'm describing to you. So the video version I'll put on Patreon as an exclusive link. Yeah, thank you. Enjoy. Just also had this realization where I did start coming here right around the time I realized wilderness and nature is the shit. And this really touched me when I took the photo, like maybe 15, 16 years ago. In case it's flipped, may your search through nature lead you to yourself. And someone was kind enough to left a walking stick here. Yeah.
absolutely amazing. Look at this spring growth. Yeah, you only get this like 3 months or so of the year, because otherwise it's so dry. And I'm under native pines. Ah, I accidentally took a screenshot instead of continuing the video. Oops. Yeah. Oh, the light is so good right now. I'm so glad I chose to come. We got the oaks here. I don't see any acorns yet, but yeah, the fire must have stopped right around here, because the other side was very singed, and across from me, luscious. All the way up to those big peaks. Oh, this is just a few miles away. Like, what a gem! Just before I saw the sign, I also remember thinking, man, why would they charge like 50, 60, 70, 80, whatever it is, bucks for the pass? That's a ripoff. Forests should be free. And I didn't buy a pass until I moved to Seattle, where I realized, oh, all that money really goes to a good cause. Maintenance, cleanup, supplies, roads, more cleanup. Yeah. Like, I gotta check this out. I don't think I've done it before. Let's go. Cause I don't recall coming down to, yeah. Look at that. Holy cow, I'm using a phone to vlog on a trail that I frequented as a kid. Arguably the trail that got me into hiking this whole valley. Isn't it gorgeous? River. See some, couple buildings there. Maybe it's not San Diego in the Sierras. It's here. It's right here, right? Like, mom brought me to places around Hong Kong on the weekends. I remember it being mom. Dad was probably resting, wasn't into moving in the mountains, but mom had the curiosity and brought me into the mountains to explore. I remember doing these pretty hard hikes while in Hong Kong as a kid, got really scared a few times because it felt like I was on the edge of a cliff. I don't remember actually how steep it was, but in my head, in my little head, I was like, oh my gosh, this is life or death. I was probably a little traumatized, but I think what I got out of it even more in the end was a sense of adventure planted at a young age. And we moved here from Hong Kong to LA when I was 10. And then my mom continued that, bringing my family and I out to places like this. It reignited those embers, that little fire that never fully went out. And I thought this used to be really, really challenging. Like really hard. I would be like, oh, I don't like it, but this is really cool. Where are we there yet? Oh my god, that's rad. Without even having the realization for it. So yeah, I still, just as I referenced it in a podcast years ago and now, I definitely still think Dora the Explorer, my mother, in being the first guardian adult that started it all. Thanks, mom. You did this. Oh, it's so lush. I actually can't wait to get down there. Drink out of the creek and hike back out. I'll definitely say, oh, these are some of my favorite natives. They're so fragrant. Oh, yeah, I got some sage here. This is the waxy one. Ooh, that feels good. That smells if I could transmit the smell of sage. Here you go. The waxy. Oh, wow. Yeah, why isn't sage fragrance a thing? Like, why hasn't Dior and Calvin Klein gotten on it? They have to make these, like, chemically ones that actually smell worse. Ah, they're not in bloom yet, but these guys. Shoots it out. Giant flower. How much energy does it take to extract minerals from the ground, grow a stalk that long, and be like fibrous, woody enough to support its own weight, dangling that far out in these like treacherous, windy conditions to spread your plant seeds? There are more cabins. I can't believe this is like my first time coming down here. That I remember anyway. Yeah, this must be connecting to the Mount Wilson Trail. Also want to point out how rad it is that this beautiful taonga that my bro Tyrone gifted me, his whalebone, is now the tip of my mic. Now that's a talking stick. Talking bone. Why haven't I thought to come up here sooner? I'm so glad I had the inclining to come today. Oh, and there's ferns. There are ferns. I love ferns. Ferns in LA. They're so new and gorgeous. Thank you, ferns. You've been on this planet a while. You're one of the oldest ancestors. And thanks to your work the last 200 million years, probably of that magnitude, you've given our atmosphere some of the oxygen that makes life here possible. So I salute your service. And I see you, tree, wrapping onto that stone. Looking real good. What a scene. This is LA? Like, for real? I need to take a screenshot. There it is.
Screenshot. Wow. Filming.
I hear this water. This precious water. Nothing fresher than it. Ugh. I thought I had to go all the way back to New Zealand to find it, but springtime. Didn't have to go far. Well, on the last day tomorrow, I wonder if it would be worthwhile if I drove up somewhere. Not too far, not here again. Somewhere that I've been that's open because of all the fire damage. To really take in the last day to honor this Fenua's land, the flora and fauna, the fact that I had grown up here. Some of that early experience, knowledge, curiosity was, as I just mentioned, I started right here in these hills, in these valleys, in the plains below the mountains. The birthplace of one of the very many iterations of who people call to be Jonathan, or Kai, or Lehiudun, and all the nicknames and iterations and facets of me that have existed and no longer exist. Oh, I love to be in a cabin in these woods. I need to find a way in a future visit. Like, how perfect. Mountain in the woods. That's all I want. I don't want no Aston Martin, no BMW. I want a simple, quiet existence every now and then. Because now, unlike in previous chapters, I don't want to listen to this thing. And only this thing. I need to distract myself with video games, with shopping, with noise, even music sometimes of any type, just to put my mind and senses onto something. And now I can just be and love it and look forward to it. Look at this oak tree grove. How welcoming. I have to reverse my screen. There it is. Not used to that. Do you smell good? You do smell good. Oh, you look like it's a cousin that I really like. I'm just naming you cousins, maybe you're not. But wouldn't all plants be cousins? All trees are getting bigger because we're in fact. Further down the gully. Look how gorgeous it is. Yeah. The water's getting louder and louder near these treetops here. That's some HDR stuff going on up here. Good job, Google. But a little too bright. Show you the view. That's a nice little waterfall. That looks like an outhouse. And that looks like a cold cabin, but cool as well. Yeah, I'm really convinced. I love to be here. Seems like it would actually add a lot of joy. And I really look forward to future visits. There it is. What more do you need? Firewood? Clean water? Silence? This gorgeous view? Bring a book, a podcast, journal, meditation cushion. Excuse me, it's so loud because the waterfall's right here. And mind you, in LA, I'd love to come to you for a swim. Maybe it's just coming back here for a swim. It's so special. Cold dip. Cold plunge! That is some Northern California level water. I'm so grateful for these good shoes. So funny to think that, and it's sitting in my luggage. Because it's not with me. And so I use the thing that's the easiest to create from, which is these guys, which almost everyone has. And this isn't even, it's not a new camera, phone. B, I'm using it, you're with the front camera. So it's absolutely not the highest quality. But what I always tell myself, cute cabin, is the best advice, if you're gonna content create, is one in your hands. Just like this saying goes for camera. And if the story's good, does it really matter what you use? Does it really have to be 6K? Does it really have to be like perfectly focus pooled? Shot on a prime lens, cinema lens, retro lens? Don't matter. Like if I shot this on a thrift store camcorder, this is such a great courtyard. But the story is compelling. The story, for example, talks about how it was actually some of the first Native Americans that settled here, and this is built in honor of the long line of ancestors that have gathered and hunted in these valleys. What if I talked about that? Does it matter what device I'm using? No. So while yes, I just invested massive amounts of money on my own business and craft, what I always remind myself is story is king. And the ability to relate is timeless. If you can get to that core emotion and evoke that from within. Hi, little bird. You're so cute. Yeah, that's what matters. Oh, I would love to spend a night here. See, if I had planned it, I would have brought my tent up. No full moto. Now I know. And now I can make better decisions. And be really happy that, come on, I've made it here. Okay. Wonder if I can go across. Yes, I can. What a gem right outside the city, the suburb. No crazy fences. No barbed wires. No private property, I'll shoot you, Trump flag signs. Just this creation. And it's mostly raw, unmatched beauty. Wow, water's so high. Could barely cross. Thankful for the people who have laid the rocks. Oh, are you wild? What? Oh, really waxy. Gorgeous flower. There's like ants eating on it. This realization isn't new, but I think it's a good time to name it. I've made content for so many years, decades, I would even say, because I keep thinking that that's what I need to chase to get the scoop, have the novel experience, meet that person, get paid, rinse and repeat. And it's other organizations, other individuals who are better than me, I have air quotes here, who are more qualified than me in these regards, who are more experienced than me, who have better stories to tell than me. That's who I should point the camera and the microphone to. Well, recently, and finally, through a series of life and learning and expansion and shedding, I have, and I'm really joyed to say that
the hero I've been looking for in the best story I've ever shot. It's right here. And it's... empowering and tragic at the same time. It took me this... living this long, 39 plus years now, to realize we're so capable and we're so powerful. If we believe we're the most interesting person in a room, so be it. But not to inflate the ego, but it's like, well, I see it go hand in hand. And are you searching for validation outside of you or within you? Just as, can you see that you too can be the most enriching, deep, fun person to be because you also know that person the best? How cool is that? So if I storytell from that place, when I'm feeling moments of inspiration, when I'm feeling that I'm in love with the land and the creation that's all around us that we get to play this video game in, then tell a story from that perspective. Maybe there's something worthwhile to hear. While maintaining that, you're doing it because you enjoy it. And at the very least, future you, and even current you who's recording, can hear yourself. And maybe you can hear yourself go, ah, that old version of me is speaking the truth. Wonderful. I was on a good track. Or, huh, he's spewing nonsense. He was not on a good track. He let his ego inflate too much. Or, he was too obsessed. Which, let's face it, we're all human, and that's entirely possible. So, being the subject of your own creations. What's that like? Well, if you're speaking the truth, then I'd say it's kind of scary. I'd say, actually, it's nerve-wracking that I'm choosing to be the main character of my production. And the only way in which I can make the best content is speaking my truth in front of the camera. Even when it's uncomfortable. Even when I feel scared saying it, doing it. Yeah. Oh, prayer flags. Right there. You know, on that topic, I like to speak into, well, A, start acknowledging the privilege I get to walk these lands, that I have this able body to be here, that I have the means to transport me to start walking in places like this here, to have the free time on a weekday to come out here, not having the responsibility of caring for a child, an older person, a spouse, whatever the circumstances, that I'm choosing with my finite time on this planet to simply walk here. I'm not needing to hunt. I'm not needing to gather. I'm just walking. What a pleasure of walking. With a device that is powerful beyond my comprehension still. With this fresh air, clean water underneath my feet. And I don't need to haul it back to the village. I don't even have to drink it right now because I got clean water out of my taps. Some would argue that, I know, but mostly clean. I have clothes made from cotton and sheep. everything that I've purchased is at such a low cost because everything I'm wearing nearly is from a thrift store. So it's used. When else in the minute human history on the scale of things, and then within that, the minute time that we have had, again, in this flesh suit, in this life, if you believe that, to then say, I don't even want to say it, but all the ways in which we can and have complained, moaned, bitched, but rather just voice our unhappiness than to do something about it. And when I'm able to, like right now, me, not always, think about, how grateful I am to just walk.
Well, speaking of the history, I wanted it to be a Native American tale, but it's not. It doesn't seem like it. Robert's Camp, 1912 to 1931. Otto Lynn Roberts, under permit from the Forest Service, built his first lodge at this location, above photo. Roberts, truly the canyon's most active promoter, also constructed sleeping facilities surrounding the lodge to accommodate about 200 persons. Business was good. Newspapers reported July 4th, 1919, 5,000 hikers passed through the canyon. The lower photo is the expanded lodge built around 1920, which housed a kitchen and dining facilities on the upper floor. The lower level contained a store, library, and an official U.S. post office.
Whoa.
The late 1920s showed a decline in hiking, which led to the eventual closing of the camp.
What a cool story.
Fees, and when I was young, not understanding surfaces, recycling, garbage, in the forest up here. Who does it? There are people serving us even in places like this. It's worth it. In fact, Forest Service and National Park Service, two of the only departments, yours truly, would actually happily pay money for. Facts. And my opinion. Yeah, so gratitude. These last 20 some hours being on Turtle Island. Seeing all the people I've gotten to see. Some kind of planned, mostly planned. Some just an absolute surprise. Absolute surprise. And this time, as Kai, as this latest iteration of me, all that I've left behind and picked up along the way, yeah, just a different mentality, different person, which is the original prompt of starting this video. I'm just extraordinarily grateful to be here. I now have this like true emerging new gratitude for having been raised here in LA. Even in this consumer driven, fear and scarcity written, dry and hot climate place that I've at times hated, dreaded. Now I go, oh yeah. It is a crazy place to live, and it's taught me a lot. Every land and place and person interaction
breakups teaches us a lot. Finally, really, truly a believer of that. Look at the spring growth. Ah, so cute. Ah. Thank you. What a beautiful walk. Ah,
nice to see a fellow long-haired Asian. If you ever come across this. So yeah, I'm recognizing the trail now. I've been here so many times. And last time, I brought my nephews here. I'm proud of that. I'm really happy I did that. I spearheaded that. It wouldn't have happened if I wasn't around. And I really like to think that it planted seeds in the minds and spirits of my little nephews that being in nature's cool. Moving our bodies is rad. Seeing the limits of what we can do and trying new positions of climbing, of crawling, stacking stones, skipping rocks, playing with sticks. Timeless. Timeless activities. The original classroom. The most profound thing that happened on this trip, and I had envisioned it even before this spring trip was planned, because this is still earlier than I had thought I would come back. Easily the most profound, invaluable experience I had in these 3 weeks or so away is asking to interview my parents, having them say yes. Yeah, having them agree, coming up with the questions to ask them, giving them a couple of days to prepare, mostly my dad, which is super cute. How serious he took it, writing pages of notes in mostly Cantonese with some English words too. And then being ready and having three cameras, multiple lights, microphones pointed at them to answer these questions on camera. And they did so well, so well. I'm so proud of them, just in that regard. Purely from a professional standpoint, as a videographer, if I knew that someone's 70-some-year-old parents was to come out and be dishonest on camera, mad props. And being my own parents, mad props in capital letters. The stories that were told, the information that was passed down, the knowledge that had been now instilled upon me, into me, I probably know things that neither my sister know. Or if they used to, they may not remember now. So, in a way, because I'm the only one that was present and no one else has watched the video, I'm now the knowledge holder of my parents. And now it's my duty, especially if my sisters don't watch this or never learn it. It's now my duty to tell that story to those who would listen, to those who'd care, for those curious, whether or not they are my direct descendants or related to me, that I keep that. I keep that here. I keep that here. I also keep it on digital files, on cloud drives spread across what we call the internet at mycelium, but hey, I keep it here. Let's keep it spiritual, okay? Man, this looks so different because the sand deposits from the previous strong systems must have just wiped out whatever trail overlaid new sediment. And it's just like crisscrossing different beams. Yeah, how powerful the water must have been. And good work on all the Forest Service trail clearing, you guys. Hat off to you. Happily pay that annual membership going forward. except I don't live in the US anymore. But I hope this inspires people to pay theirs so that y'all get paid and can do your beautiful work out here, because I appreciate it. Yes, good to go, parents. Moving to LA. What an epic idea. Yeah. I just lost for words, eh? I'm not gonna release clips of it because it's very personal and intimate. But go them. Go them. Yeah, everything else. Even if they were my volition, my intention, my mission, whatever I wanna call it, almost doesn't matter. To spend time with my folks, to continue that healed relationship that we really started some years ago and certainly made a big quantum leap when they came to visit me in New Zealand in November last year, and now continuing that book, that story, that I'm now an active participant in writing, going, I refuse to be the victim of that story. I refuse to be the victim of their victimhood and the perpetrators around and before them that punished them, that didn't give them love, that didn't give them security, safety when they were younger, that damaged these minds and hearts of who would later become my parents to bring me into this world, into this life. I can go, it stops here. I just can't. This victim thing needs to stop. And you know, at this point, it's not even men's work that I'm doing. It's just human work. And now I can write the story of my parents in the way that I really want it. Yes, with the limitations that they have in their bodies and their minds, that's okay, and their upbringing. And they're so receptive, right? I can't iterate enough, especially since that visit in November last year, just 5 months ago, how receptive they are if I'm empowered enough to take the lead and start moving the pen. And that script is one that's loving, one that's kind, one that's healing, one that's forgiving. And say, look, the traumas that you experience, the sadness endured, the fear, the lack of security, the abuse, the loneliness, the inability to speak up, the hunger, a lack of connection, and with that void, seeking externally all these vital human essences outside of us in an endless hamster wheel pursuit. Yeah, someone that quit their really well-paying jobs in their mid-40s, moved his family and all his stuff with his wife, moved to new land where a different language is spoken, different ways of being is being done. Driving on a different side of the road, your credentials, whether it's school and work, don't matter. Where there is rampant racism and stereotyping, where you have to volunteer your way even to get in at minimum wage, just to have 3 children, all of which aren't really grateful for you, because you're constantly working and then tired from all the study and working, and because you're already numb in your own emotions, buried under decades of conditioning, and no one's loved you and taught you how to come out except your own wife, who is now, as of a few years ago, suffering from cancer. Of course you're acting from a place of fear and ridiculousness. Of course you lashed out at me, to which I responded really poorly and fell into a state of depression and ate shit food and binge watched YouTube all day long just to get by. And finding myself again in beautiful places like this, halfway across the world in Norway, And now, yes, all of this work, all of this time, I can say, Dad, I'm not mad at you. I was. I really was. Good long while. It brought me to dark ass places. And that anger just consumed me. Just zapped energy from me. Definitely didn't put you in a good state to keep giving unconditionally. And now a little over a year since I metamorphically and literally cut the cord, which I'm still wearing. That's the reminder. The video is going to go out soon because I'm running out of space, but I'll continue it with just a still image. Oh, good, because my hands are really cold and holding it out. This is where I can cut to advertisement, but oh, we don't have advertisements. Oh, what a great time to bring up the fact that I can make creations like this, and in this particular one, an unplanned podcast, because of supporters on Patreon and those that hire me for visual storytelling. Telling a story of businesses, organizations, the story of how you and your loved one met, the story of how your families come to be, those that you cherish, and the really special gatherings that happen every now and then. I am good at capturing these things in stills and video and audio now. So thanks to all the Patreon supporters through the last 6-7 years in making projects like this possible. Yeah. I'm not seeking sponsorship because I don't want to sell you NordVPN. I don't want to sell you razors and medical subscriptions. I just want to bring my untamed raw self and the stories of others I get to meet and befriend to you in the form of podcasts or videos. So if you ever feel inclined, hit me up. I'd love to see what I can do for you. Prints. Services, teaching, mentoring, production, storyboarding, or just to have the conversation. I'm game for that. If you don't got money for it, no stress. Just follow along and enjoy whatever free content I do put out. Because it's not about paywall. I just need to pay my bills. And if I value myself and my time and my creations, and I know I'm still on a tangent for my dad, then support this homeboy out, because this is it. I'm not using my invaluable time to do things that aren't aligned with me anymore. And I need to just declare that I found my craft, I found my devotion, I found my service. I live in a place where money is used as the main currency, and I don't grow my food yet. I don't own my own property, so I gotta participate in that game, which now I'm seeing more and more as not evil, but evolved, changed. But we can still make it sacred. Anyway, all that as my sponsor break, because I'm sponsoring me. All these people, dozens of people now on Patreon, sponsor me, who believe in me, who like what I put out, who have said that my creations bring a little inspiration into their world, bring a little joy, bring a little light, that I actually enjoy my voice, because I didn't even enjoy my voice up until a few years ago. They like that I'm not a typical creator. They like that I can bring stories from all the places that I traveled onto their devices, landing in their ears and hearts and minds. I just want to speak and represent a different kind of human that didn't have the same growing up, that looked more similar to me, that maybe immigrants themselves may have been third place kids that haven't belonged, that have always felt like they were the outcasts, the rejects, and wanting to and maybe have found their way, their own uniqueness. Yeah, I want that to be something that people know me by. And yeah, like beautiful videography and time lapses, that's all part of my repertoire. Oh, there's a light. Someone's in one of the cabins. Yay! That makes me happy. People are staying here. And now back to the show. By the way, it's patreon.com/subtledream. Of course, links are all over my profile and show notes. Sure. Nah, this is it. This is my day to be in the woods. I don't need another day because it would be irresponsible. What started today was actually the desire to build an altar, even if it's temporary, to honor our past family dog, Jolly.
Jolly, jolly, jolly boy.
And I brought with me stones, crystals, plant, organic matter from different corners of Turtle Island. Because the area where Jolly is buried is closed, thanks to the fires, the same fires, and I get to build this earth altar that represents all that we are. The love we have for our animals, the fun that I've had with Jolly Boy, the deviant child he sometimes was, the fact that he is full of joy, always was, always will be, just as he is always in my heart. And I know in the heart of my dad too, because he talks about Jolly as if he lost a family member. Yeah, he's able to say he misses him. I don't even think I've heard my dad say he misses me. There's that pain talking. Yeah. There's a story to tell. I remember after Jolly passed, which was early 2015, 10 years now, when I come home, he would say, "Oh, I really miss him. He was such a good boy. Oh, I miss him very much." There'd be a pain in my heart. There would be a deep pain in my heart because my dad can give praise to other people's children, but not directly at me. And my dad was able to miss an animal openly and wholeheartedly, but not tell me right in front of me. And this dug at me for a long time. And it wasn't since the passing of our family dog that I realized, wow, my dad can't say shit that I want him to say. And this really hurts me. Of course, I didn't have the vocabulary for it, so what did preteen and teenager me do? Build up a bunch of resentment, hating him, questioning why he's so easy to praise others, but not praise his own son and daughters. Just bitch and complain and say what we're bad at, what we suck at, how we're deficient at the times that we're deficient. Instead of saying what's right, you just stomp on us when we do things wrong, as if we want to hurt you, as if we wanted to insult you, as if we wanted to give you a bad name and face. Give me a break. I released that as well. So, Jolly, as a practice of the release of all these things, these objects I've accumulated from nature, because I find them wonderful and beautiful and luscious and fascinating and mysterious, I'm also letting go of the fact that I own them, I possess them, I can return back them back to nature where they belong, even if they're not probably not native to this place. And people look at them and be like, "What the geology is this? How did this piece come here?" Yeah, thanks for all that you were, all the joy you brought me. Yeah, and as I release further grief of you not being here with us in the last 10 plus years now, and the grief I still feel when I think back on those moments where my dad unknowingly passed on grief and suffering to my sisters and I. Yeah, I return this gift from the Fenua, from the land. Ooh. And that your essence isn't and will never be forgotten. You taught me a lot, four-legged one. And thanks to you, I really, really enjoy most of the four-legged ones out there. Your four-legged cousins on this planet. I mean, it's getting dark, so I must go. So yeah, I did not plan this. I did not even bring a torch. I feel confident that half a mile later, I'll be back in a lot. So that's, yeah, part of my psyche at the moment. Life, relations, land, death, honoring. grief, healing, acknowledgements. Grief's still there. Forgiving.
Okay, I'm ascending, so that's a good sign. This is where I saw that runner earlier, so. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive.
There's my first solo episode of The Wilderness Within. And a thoroughly deep life update of finding that there's a loop that I can do in Chantry Flats. Extraordinary. New aspects of a trail that I grew up on. How fitting. A completely different way to look at this land, this valley, these life-giving streams. To recall, recap, reimagine. Oh, there's an owl in the distance. Owl's giving me a verbal fist bump. You speak wise words, young one. Well, yes, thank you. Couldn't be more fitting. I go deep within in a place that I've gone outside. One of my first adventures, first proper hikes after moving here 29 years ago. Oh, get this, everyone. A few days ago was the 29th anniversary of my parents moving my sisters and I to the US. 29 years. And that was the day I dropped my parents off at a cruise ship terminal for a leisure trip up to Northern California, down to Baja California for a week as they celebrate life and retirement and each other. Yeah. And I watched the giant ship pull out of the harbor. I'm 90%+ chance that it's the same boat. And I'm hiking with one of my mates in one of his favorite parts of LA, overlooking the ocean and the cliffs. And just go, huh, 29 years, a lifetime, number of lifetimes. Also, almost blink of an eye. Yeah. I was but 10. May have the same DNA. May have the same name on paper. Or slightly different now. But the cells in that little boy's body and the one in mine now, it's changed multiple times, if not dozens of times already, depending on what organ and part of my body you're talking about. And they are but vague memories in that period that are still alive, but perhaps at this point somewhat unclear in this thing we call brain and memory storage. And now my life is in a different distant land with a distinct set of cultures and values. History is completely different. Yeah, how wild. Yeah, that was just a few days ago. So add that to the, how many layers are we going down this time? I don't know, it's inception. Open threads and tangents and side quests. Yeah, I'm on the right path. Literally. And I feel it too. You know, as I say that, I'm on the right path. Energetically, physically. I feel strong. I feel clear. I feel healthy. I feel supported. I feel loved. I feel seen. I feel acknowledged by my partner, friends, my bros, by myself, by those that I don't even know, by those that I admire, that they admire me. Mutual. And I just know there's no failing. There's no failing. I'm so committed to my growth, my life, and in supporting those that I care and love around me, their lives, while putting my own needs first. A reminder to self and everyone. And going forward. All my relations.
all of my relations. All my relations, yeah. I'd be really curious to hear what your thoughts are. For some of you, maybe you're learning about me for the very first time. And for some of you, maybe you've followed for months, if not years, or even know me personally. So I'd love to hear from you. If there's anything of value that's really stood out to you, something that you really take to heart, something that you didn't know about me before, I'd love to hear from you. Yeah, appreciate your attention and time as always. And as mentioned in the episode, if you really find tremendous value in what I'm producing, love for your support on Patreon. So that's patreon.com/subtledream, and that really funds the newsletter that I produce every couple months, a season or so, and then of course this podcast, which I still have about 12 conversations recorded backlogged that I'm going to edit in the coming months as we go deeper into autumn and the winter to follow very soon. So thank you, Nga mihi nui, tō te taika, and until next time.